Welcome to The Five Pastors. What would you give for knowledge that would provide the answers to life's greatest questions? Lighthouse FM Radio invites you to stay tuned for the next half hour, an investment that just may lighten your path of life. Join us now as Pastor Jeff Potts shares today's message.
Well, it is so great to see you. We're delighted that you've joined us for worship today. It's great to be back in this house of God. We're continuing with our series, Pursuing God's Purpose for Your Life. We have looked at a number of different purposes that God has for us. We're really answering the question, what on earth am I here for? And, you know, each one of us has a unique purpose, but there are at least five things that each of us have in common, the God-given purpose for our lives. And so just to review them, this is based, of course, on Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He has five sections in that book. And this book has been a tremendous blessing to me personally, and so I'm happy that we can go through this series together. But the first purpose for our life is you were planned for God's pleasure. Ultimately, that is the great purpose of our life, to bring glory and pleasure to our Creator. Secondly, we were formed for God's family, to be a part of the church. And this is where the fellowship and the joy of being together is God's plan, God's purpose for us. Thirdly, you were created to become like Christ. And so in our spiritual journey, we are growing and maturing and becoming more and more like the lovely character of Jesus. And today we'll look at this topic. You were shaped for serving God. Shaped for serving God. And then 2 weeks from today, we'll conclude with this topic. You were made for a mission. So let's plunge in today. You were shaped for serving God. Each one of us has been placed on this earth to make a contribution. That is one of God's great purposes for our lives. We are here to serve others. We serve God by serving others. Notice a few texts here that are very, very clear in Scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "It is God Himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, He planned that we should spend these lives in helping others." Long ages ago, our Heavenly Father planned that each of us should spend our lives helping others. We serve God by serving others. This is His purpose for each of us. And of course, Romans 7, verse 4 says, "You are a part of the body of Christ." The body of Christ is the church. We're each a part of it. "And now you belong to Him who was raised from death in order that we might be useful in the service of God." We, each one of us, is to be useful in God's service. And of course, Jesus, our great example. In John 17, verse 4, Jesus, in prayer to the Father, said, "I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Jesus sensed that he had a purpose and he had a certain job that God had given him, an assigned task. And Jesus says, "I brought you glory by doing what you sent me to do." In the same way, each of us has been given an assignment, a life assignment. We are here to make a contribution. And when we do that, we are bringing glory to God, even as Jesus did in his life. Well, John Calvin, I appreciate his sense of humor, the great reformer. And he said, "God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of tasks. Right now, I'm so far behind, I think I'll never die." But John knew that God had given him a purpose. There were a number of things that he was to do in service to God and others. And this is the great truth that we're talking about today. Each one of us has been shaped for serving God. You may have heard this acronym STORM before, but STORM stands for Service to Others Really Matters. It really matters. When we serve others, we are serving God. Now, two things we want to really touch on today. First of all, is the fact that every member of God's family is a minister. We'll spend a few minutes unpacking that. And secondly, we want to talk about how we can think as servants. All right, let's unpack, first of all, how every single member of God's family is a minister. First of all, the Bible tells us that we have been created to serve God. And Jeremiah 1:5, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work." God created you, my friend. And just like Jeremiah, God created you for a special purpose. He has a plan for your life that is as unique to you as each snowflake is different. We each have a special purpose, but we have been created to serve God. It's interesting, you may not have thought of it this way, but this envelope that says special assignment, your assignment, God has an envelope like that for every single one of us. You have been placed on this earth for a special assignment. No one else can fulfill that purpose. Your service to God, your service to others is unique and special to each of us. Christ's Object Lessons tells us on page 326, and you may have heard this before, but this truth is one that is very dear to my heart. And she tells us that each has his place in the eternal plan of heaven. Each one of us. None are accepted. And then she says, not more surely is the place prepared for us in the heavenly mansions than is the special place designated on earth where we are to work for God. This is a truth that we need to grasp today. We have been created to serve God. God has a special place for each of us where we are to serve him, a special assignment. And to understand what that is and to fulfill that purpose is why we are here. Now, not only have we been created to serve God, the Bible says we've been saved to serve God. When we come to put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we receive that free gift of salvation by grace through faith, we have been saved to serve God. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "It is God who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began." See, God has saved you for service. Long before this world began, he saw you, he knew you, and he saved you. By his grace, he saved you to serve him. Now, I want to clarify, we are not saved by service. We are saved for service. Salvation is by grace through faith. We can't earn salvation. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. My friends, we are saved for service. Each one of us, God intends, should be useful in his service. Now, Jesus, when you came to faith in him, Jesus now has a new pair of eyes to see with, new ears to listen with, new hands to help with, and a new heart to love others with. This is actually something they say in China. When someone comes to faith in Jesus, they say Jesus now has a new pair of eyes to see with, new ears to hear with, new hands to help with, and a new heart to love others with. We are saved for service. Each one of us. See, there's no such thing. It's an oxymoron to talk about a Christian who does not serve. If you are a believer in Jesus, if you have been saved by his grace, then you are a servant. Rick Warren said it this way. He said, "If I have no love for others, no desire to serve others, I should question whether Christ is really in my life." Now, that's quite a saying, really, quite a statement. I agree, 100%. If I have no love for others, no desire to serve others, then I need to question whether Jesus is in my life, because Jesus dwelling in me will love others through me. He will serve others through me. Each of us has been called to serve. We've been saved to serve. We've been created to serve. Now, I want to mention that there are seasons in our lives. And there are certain seasons when we need to be on the receiving end of service rather than the serving end. One of these, of course, is when you're sick. Regardless of what circumstances we're in, we can always pray for people. That's a way that we can serve. And we can always pick up the phone. I mean, you got to be pretty sick before you can't pick up the phone and just call someone and say, how are you doing? I'm thinking of you today. And so there are seasons in life. There are seasons when receiving service is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But let us recall that God has made us for service. He has created us. He has saved us to serve God. We are blessed to be a blessing. And, you know, I think of the dandelions. I don't know whether you like dandelions. I actually know some people who like dandelions. I don't. But dandelions, they grow and they bloom and then they give off all these seeds and they share the blessing all over the place. We are blessed to be a blessing. Think of the dandelion and how they share God's blessing of life so far. We are blessed to be a blessing. We've been created to serve God. We've been saved to serve God. And the Bible says we've been called to serve God. You have a calling on your life. Notice 1 Peter 2:9. It says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you. He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Friends, God has a calling on your life. And because of that calling, you can show others the goodness of God. The way we do that is by serving, by helping. When people see love with skin on it, they come to believe that there is a God who loves them. And so each one of us has been called to serve God. And whenever we help others, we are fulfilling our calling. And finally, point four here, we've been commanded to serve God. Created to serve, saved to serve, called to serve, and commanded to serve. Notice this, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you some special abilities. Now, I have met people that say, that's not true of me. I don't have any special abilities. Friends, you're going to have to disagree with the Bible on that one, because God says that each one of us has some special abilities. So notice what the Bible says. Be sure to use them to help each other. We're commanded here. Be sure to use your abilities to help others. Help each other. Passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. So many blessings that God has given us. We're blessed to be a blessing, and we are commanded to serve, to be sure to use our God-given abilities to help each other. Now, there's a Danish proverb that says this, what you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God. I think that's so appropriate. You know, God has shaped each of our lives uniquely. He has made us the way He made us on purpose, because He has a special assignment for each one of us, a special place where we are to serve Him. But look, what we do with what God has given us is our gift to God. And so, friends, we need to understand how God has uniquely shaped us for ministry. This acronym SHAPE is one that has been so helpful to me, and I have shared this with you before, but I want to reiterate it for a purpose. God has given each of us a unique shape. The S is for our spiritual gifts. The H is for our heart, our passions, the things that we love. The A is our abilities. By the way, only believers have spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives you a spiritual gift when you come to faith in Jesus. But everybody on this earth has natural abilities. They're God-given. They're all God-given. But these abilities are a little different from our spiritual gifts. And also our personality. We're each different. You know, some of us are introverted. Some of us are extroverted. Some of us are very kind of task-oriented, you know. And we all have different personalities. But whatever personality God has given you is for a special reason. And so we need to understand our shape and, of course, our life experiences. I want to tell you this, that often it is the most painful experiences in life that shape us for ministry. God will never waste your tears. Maybe you've gone through a divorce, and that has been so painful. And you know, sometimes divorce feels even more painful than losing a spouse to death, you know. But many times people have gone through that experience of divorce and said, you know what, I want to help others that are going through this same experience because I understand what this is like. And so God many times will use our painful life experiences and turn them into a special ministry. Now each of us has been commanded to serve. God has shaped us each uniquely. And that's the way it is when we serve others. You know, we do it to bless others and bring them joy. But invariably, it brings joy to us. Friends, let's talk now about how we can think like a servant. We're clear that God created us to serve Him. He saved us to serve Him. He called us to serve Him. He's commanded us to serve. But let's talk about how we can think like a servant. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, in your lives you must think and act like Christ Jesus. I mean, this is a direct command of Scripture. We must think and act like Jesus. If we are followers of Jesus, we must do this. Of course, how did Jesus think? Matthew 20, 28 tells us, Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give His life as a ransom for many. When Jesus gave His life on the cross, that was the greatest act of service that He gave. To lay down His life in service to you and I so that we might have eternal life. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So when we are commanded to think like Jesus, we're commanded to serve like Jesus. How can we serve like Jesus? Perhaps the greatest example many people think about is when He picked up the towel and washed the feet of the disciples there in the upper room. To serve like Jesus, how can we do that? How can we think like Him? First of all, 4 points here. First of all, servants think more about others than about themselves. Serving is not about thinking less of yourself, it's about thinking of yourself less. Notice Philippians 2 verse 4. It says, put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. This, of course, is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase there in the Message. The Message is encouraging Bible to read. And if you've not read it, I encourage you to do, because it many times just sheds some nuances on the Scripture that you may not have seen before. But Paul tells us, look, don't think about yourself first. Think about others more than about yourselves. This is contrary to our sinful nature. Our sinful nature wants always to look out for number one, you know. The Bible says, no, if we are thinking like Jesus, if we are thinking like servants, we will think of others before we think about ourselves. Now, John Wesley had this motto, and it was really a very inspiring one to me. John Wesley, the great reformer, he said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. That would be a great motto for each of us, you know, to commit to memory. Indeed, when we think like a servant, we're thinking of others more than we think of ourselves. Secondly, servants think like stewards, not owners. Stewards, a manager. We often don't use that word steward very frequently today. But someone who manages a store is not the owner, but they're running the store for the owner. And as servants, we need to realize that this life that we live, these bodies of ours, we don't own them. They belong to God. My body is God's body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I am just a manager, a steward of this body. And so Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards. Paul is saying, look, you want to know how to think about me? Just think about me. I'm a servant of Christ and I'm a steward. Then he says this, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithfulness in our stewardship. That's the key quality we look for. If you owned a store and somebody was managing it for you, what you would require of that person is that they would be faithful in the way they ran your store. God is calling us to think like stewards, not owners. And so what this looks like practically is that these hands of ours, they're not our hands, they're God's hands. And when we serve as stewards, when we think of ourselves as stewards, not as owners, we're acknowledging God's hands. These hands are God's. And I will use them to bless others. And so we serve, being God's hands, God's feet. Servants think like stewards, not owners. Thirdly, servants think about their work, not about what others are doing. What do I mean by that? Well, Galatians 5, 26, Paul says, we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. No. This is not somehow a competition to figure out who's going to be, you know, the very best servant. Not at all. No. Servants think about their work. We focus on the work that God has given us, the service, the ministry that God has given us. And we don't compare that to other people. Maybe your ministry is to be a pothole fairy, you know, like Lindsay was, and to put shiny rocks in a pothole, you know, and maybe someone else is to start a great ministry to help, you know, under-resourced people. We ought not to try and compare, you know, and figure out, well, who's a better servant? No, we ought to focus on the task that God has given us. This is the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was on this shore after his resurrection that Jesus appeared to some of his disciples. And you might remember the story. They were out fishing. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. And so Jesus, early in the morning, was standing on the shore. And he said, why don't you cast your net on the other side? And they did. And all of a sudden, it was filled with big fish. And they realized it was Jesus standing on the shore. And so Peter, he jumped into the water and he swam to shore. Peter, who had denied his Lord three times. And there on that shore, Jesus had already put some fish on the fire. He made breakfast for the disciples. Jesus was about serving others. And there around the fire that morning, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He says, take care of my lambs. Second time, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus says, feed my lambs. And then the third time, Simon, do you love me? Peter was upset. You know, in the Greek, they use two different words here. And Jesus was actually lowering the bar a little bit now. He says, Simon, do you even love me as a friend? And Peter was hurt. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. And Jesus says, then feed my sheep. This was a powerful experience for Peter because Jesus had just said, Peter, you're back in. You denied me three times. But you have just affirmed your love for me three times, and I have recommissioned you as an apostle. Feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Feed my lambs. Peter felt so grateful that Jesus had publicly restored him to ministry. But then Peter asked Jesus this. He looked around. Evidently, Jesus and Peter had wandered down the shore together. And he looked back and he saw John, the one who wrote the Gospel of John. And Peter said to Jesus, he said, "What about him? You know, what about John?" And this was Jesus' reply. It seems almost a little bit curt, but Jesus said, "Peter, if I want him to live until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." His point was very clear. "Peter, don't worry about the service of John. You worry about the service that I've given you. Don't compare yourselves here. Just focus on your ministry, Peter." This is so important. This is how servants think. They think about their ministry, not the ministries of others. And finally, servants think of ministry as an opportunity, not an obligation. I love this point. So many times, you know, we can look about the fact that we've been created to serve and saved to serve and called to serve and commanded to serve. We can think, well, we got to do it. We're obligated here. Well, true servants think of service. They think of ministry as an opportunity, not an obligation. Psalm 102 says it so well. "Serve the Lord with gladness." Friends, when we are serving and we see ministry as an opportunity, not an obligation, then we have joy in our ministry. And that's how servants think. Friend, if you want to experience the joy of Jesus in your life, find how to serve. Let me wrap up with this final text today, Hebrews 6:10. "God will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them." Think about this. God will not forget your service. And in particular, it says, God will not forget the love you have shown him as you have served his people. You see it? When we are serving others, we're showing love to God. This is so powerful. And when you show love to your Heavenly Father by serving others, he will never, ever forget that. It touches his heart when we serve others. And so look for opportunities. God will never forget the love you've shown him when you serve others. And so together we served. We've been shaped for serving God.
Thank you for joining us on The Five Pastors. Today's speaker was Pastor Jeff Potts. If you would like more information on what you heard in today's message, please email us, VOAR@VOAR.org. Join us Monday to Friday at 10 p.m. for an inspiring message on The Five Pastors.